Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Iman Wali Ayub Bilal, the halal industry, do for self. We thank you, as always, for taking the time to share with us with the program that come on 7 days a week, thanks to our brother Amin Yasir Muhammad of the Sister Clara Muhammad STEM School. And we come on every Wednesday also from 5 to 7 with the same program, the Halal Industry, Do For Self. And we have with myself the two co-hosts, Brother James Bashir and Nate Muhammad. I'm going to turn the mic over to them for a minute, and then I will be right back.
Assalamu alaikum, Nate Muhammad, Do For Self, the Halal Industry. We'd like to thank the man. We're running a little late because of traffic and whatnot. But I just want to elaborate on, it's time for us as African Americans, descendants of slaves, to unite. And this time we want to unite in the name of Allah, with God's blessing. We don't want to unite over some mishap or some nonsense like from out in the street or whatnot. We want to unite, get in accordance with Almighty God, and move in a direction to save or to help mankind. We was already prepared for this mission from our legacy under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Imam Muhammad. May Allah be pleased with both of them. They prepped us in dealing with this situation here. The thing we had to do was we had to overcome our disability as a people. They showed us where to look at, where to look to get answers about our ancestors or our people. And from that information, we learned that Allah had his hand on our destination all the time. Steaming from coming over here on the slave ships all the way into the present day. That was Allah had a hand on it. He the one guided us through all this. He the one guided us to the point where we can say from slavery to the halal industry. Do for self. Our destination, our objective is to build a lot of businesses for the African-American people first. Descendants of slaves. These were the people we want first to help them, because we the ones through all that trauma with the slave thing, or with slavery, period, where we were stripped of everything, our identity, our welfare, and we had to reconstruct it back. And he showed us how to reconstruct it. The only thing different is that we're moving as one. With Allah's name, not every different nationality or tribalism. No, we one under one common denominator, Allah, Muhammadan Rasulullah. That's what we're leading for. And we in the area or the notion to help mankind. How the Imam used to say, Imam Muhammad. We're going to remake the world. And how we remake the world is we remake ourselves. We get ourselves back in order. We get our people back in order. Then we're in the position to be a model in this society or in the world. And that's how we remake the world, and the world will have to follow our lead. That's we make. That's how I read. That's how I understand. And it's up to us to move in a sense where, as long as we lead with what Allah says, we'll always come out on top. Before we lead with what we say, I say, they say, we always fail because we don't have nothing to fall back on. We lead with what Allah says. Allah takes all the weight and get all the glory. We just want to understand it because understanding, you can share that. You can't share what they will call the power and the glorification of things. And we hear, like the imam said, 7 days a week, people. The main thing we have to do is make sure we have to be an example of what we're talking about. Even though we deal with the people will look at what you do, more or less than what you say. Yeah, well, I seen him here. I seen him doing that there. I seen that, yeah. But once they be around you enough, they'll know and understand your character. Important thing than anything is our character. That's how we can call building a model community. We're going to build the model community. That's the whole objective. And if we can clean our life up, that's how we can work together. We learn to work together from a unification standpoint. And I think we're ready for it. We done experienced all kinds of hardship. We done experienced all kinds of hardship in society as a people. The result or the relief of all this chaos is moving as one. Body taking advantage of us based on our individuality and our lack of knowledge of ourselves. That's how society get away with everything. They set you up and they already know you don't know. And they play you for what you don't know. Time to sit back now and reorganize everything, get everything in order. We already know that we're going to lead with what Allah said, do things to shore. That is a great accomplishment right there. Because we was used to doing what we want, how we want. Coming in, meeting, venting with each other. A lot of stuff we see out here is all vent. It don't have no, it's nothing clear about anything. It's just vent. Because why? You don't know. If you knew what was happening, you don't have to make no noise. Because when you use your mind, you don't make noise. And right now, we see nothing but chaos. And that tells me right there that, yeah, they lack a little bit of knowledge of themselves. I don't care what you get into. I'm talking about the African American of America, in America, descendants of slaves. That's who I'm talking about. I'm not talking about everybody else. Like I said, we are subject to be an example for mankind, if we know it or not. All we have to do is look beyond our personal feelings and appeal and approach things with an open mind. The clarification to come up on you like now. It's just like you go to your computer, you type in what you want, and next you know, boop, it pops up on your computer. This is the same thing. We'll see what we need to do, and everything will pop in up for what we need to do and how we need to do it. That's what we need to be doing today. Let us take a break. And James.
As-salamu alaykum. I'd like to read from the 42nd surah of the Quran, Al-Shura, or Consultation. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. Ha-meen. Ein-seen-kaf. Thus doth he send inspiration to thee, as he did to those before thee. Allah exalted in power, full of wisdom. To him belongs all that is in the heavens and on earth. And he is most high, most great. The heavens are almost rent asunder from above them by his glory. And the angels celebrate the praises of their Lord, pray for forgiveness for all beings on earth. Behold, verily Allah is he, the all-forgiving, most merciful. And those who take as protectors others besides him, Allah doth watch over them, and thou art not the disposer of their affairs. Join us daily from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an edition of the Halal Industry Do For Self. It's your host, Imam Wale and you, Bilal, President, Founder, and CEO of Bilal Inc., and co-hosts James Bashir and Nate Muhammad. The interest of Bilal Inc. is to establish economics for the African-American people, descendants of the slaves of America. This program is to encourage people to unite and to build economic strength to establish community life by doing for self to build the model community. At am360.org and 24-hour streaming at 701-719-4197. Call in live to speak to the host at 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. Share comments at info@cwsc.us. Tweet at CWSHURAA. Email us at info@cwsc.us. Visit am360.org, Community Corporation, Community-Wide Shore Conference at cwsc.us, or leave a listener comment at 910-317-0297.
Yes, sir, Brother James. Thank you very much, Brother James and Brother Nate. Assalamu alaikum. Once again, this is Imam Wale Ayub Bilal, Halal Industry Do For Self. And we thank Allah, opportunity, as I like to add, to speak to you now or whenever you may hear this. We thank Allah for your time that you'll take to share information. The things we need to do to build a model community, the things that we need to do to build up our neighborhood, it's simple, just working together. The crimes that's happening, and I'm not talking about thievery. I don't hear much about thievery. I hear too much about guns falling in our neighborhood. And in our neighborhood, our youngsters are killing youngsters. Now, we don't want them to kill the older people either. But the bottom line is, who has got their eyes closed while they're seeing how these guns are getting in our neighborhood? We don't want to hurt that person, but that person is acting as if they don't notice we're wiping out ourselves. Caucasian doing that, or an Arab, or this or that. But somebody is providing guns in our neighborhood when we can't get guns like that. And they're not doing it for them to become their little army. They're doing it in a way almost that looks like just saying, go kill yourself.
Mm-hmm.
We have to do something. Our young people need to see examples. I'm a person that believes in examples because I saw my father all my life. When I saw him do things, he did it in a way that made me feel proud that I was his son. I didn't see no tap dancing for anybody. He was a man. 12 of us from my mother. We got one other sister from another sister back in the day, but she's my sister. Different mother, but same father. And 12 of us was born after that one, that first one that he had outside of my mother. And I love her, too. She's still around, thank Allah. But when I look at the man in my life that made me look at things and want to be fair, be just, be caring, I watched how he lived his religious life. There was a point in time that he would take us to the church here in Philadelphia, and he was disappointed in the preacher. And he didn't never tell me why. And I'm young, 11 maybe. Could have been 12, but somewhere between that 10 and 12. And he would take all us, the children, to church. Take the five of us that was in the house, the three older ones, they were living elsewhere, or my brothers might have been in the service at that time. But nonetheless, the five of us, he'd take us to church. And there was something he was disappointed in. I almost got it out of him once, but he never gave me more than he wanted me to have as far as information. And he wouldn't come into church. And I questioned him one day so much, he finally told me, he said, "Well, son, the reverend did something that I'm not pleased with, but I won't take you all out of church. I just won't go in." And he would do that every Sunday until, I guess, maybe when I stopped going to church and was going somewhere else. I don't know, going to church with him anyway. So, but the bottom line is, he showed me how to care and how to watch without also being detrimental. He could have been very destructive. He could have said bad things about the preacher. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm in my 70s. I still don't know what he felt, but I knew it was something that disappointed him, but not disappointed enough to take us from hearing something about God. That's another thing that's missing with a lot of our young. Are we talking to them about Allah, God, the Creator? Now, we're talking to them about any one of those titles because that's what we use. If you put God in his proper place, we have a better society. God is not a servant of ours. He's the owner, creator of everything. And he gives equal to everybody. There's not a message for the white man and another one for the black man and another one for Chinese and another one for Russia. No, we all looking at the world with the eyes that God gave us. The problem that I see here in America with us, we shut down our voice, Peyton, in building for ourselves together. Allah says, do for yourself. Build what you're supposed to have for yourself. Take care of yourself. And most important, God tells us, just like he tells everybody else, trust him. Our community of Muslims, we come from that, if I could call it a stronghold of working together from 1930. A little distant, it seems right now, but not totally distant. We have to look at what we're doing, what we want to do, what skills we got. I often mention by name the Graceline Credit Union. Why? God willing, if we're strong enough to pull money together, loans, however they come, in a good way. Let me back that up because somebody asked me before, would I use drug money to open a halal market? How that sound? No, I wouldn't use it. Somebody asked me, would I give charity to the messenger? No, not from drug money. No. In other words, bad enough if I was doing that, bad enough I'm doing that. Now I'm going to defile the places that's supposed to be proper? No, I can't do that. Thank Allah, we're talking about what's halal. We can't bring no corruption to it. If we can't get it open, maybe it wasn't our time. But we have to appeal to each other that we should be building. Graceline Credit Union. I want to find out more about it. I will be working with the brothers and trying to find out more information. My intention to do that. Why? I want to know how can we get them started. Can we do it with one group? Do we need 10 groups? Do we need a certain number, 100, 200, 300, 500, more people to be involved? Is it the size, is it the amount that is put in? But we need people that from us, from among our experience, that's honest, that can actually put in line, put on the map our banking system. So the bank, the credit union, whatever, makes funds for itself rather than we passing all our money, African American descendant of slaves, passing money all through all the banks but can't get a loan from nobody. And that don't mean it's exclusive. No black man, no African American descendant of a slave can't get no money, but not enough of us, especially when it comes time to build. And we're you know, I often speak also about putting people in office. We got to get some of our brightest, some of our finest to stand up and let us put them in political positions. Some of us may say, well, they got to be Muslim. No, brother, sister, they got to be part of us. We're worried about getting everybody looking the same if they want to, the religion later. Right now we're talking about building a society. In that society, we need a bank. We got brothers and sisters that do it across the country. But we have to be willing to find out what do they need from us as a people. In my opinion, many of the messages already stepped up and stepped back. They stepped up because their name was called. That's just so-and-so. We'd like you to be a part of this. They stepped back by saying, no, we won't do that. We're going to do our own. What's more effective? If we all work together and load up a bank, and we may have one in one area, that's not a problem. The way they do Cash App and PayPal's and all this stuff, there's ways, and there don't have to be none of those names. Credit union from among ourselves can have their own way, their own method to ship money from their banking system to the people, and the people from them back to there or back to others. But we can't do nothing if we don't unite in numbers, if we don't pull it together as one. So like I said, I'm going to be looking into their information. I'll try my best this Sunday to be on the program to hear and maybe even ask some questions. But my main thing is to hear. I don't mind being guided by those who know what they're doing. And then I can give my support. But I'd like to see us have those things. We got medical people. We got to open up hospitals. Not one. Everything we do is multiple. We follow the pattern of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Like I said, 1897 is his birthday. He was born 1897 with a third grade education. And look how Allah blessed him to get a hold to Islam and put it in our community in the form of the Nation of Islam. And we saw some of our sorry-minded brothers and sisters here in America been told by someone else, he didn't bring us Islam. What did he bring us? I lived it. What did he bring us? Who is that person saying helped him? And I'm not talking about his teacher, Master Farad. I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about who helped him as a creator. All you, me, all us got to do is use our head. 1897 he was born? Blacks weren't even still allowed to read. If you know, in other words, you definitely couldn't vote. Slave farms were still open. Picnics with us hanging on the trees, dead, either burning or stabbed or shot, while the family of Caucasians looked at it as a day of fun. What kind of world is that? Now, this ain't for anger. No, you ain't got to be angry to do something. But this ain't for anger. This ain't for doing that. What it's for doing is looking at what Allah has done here in America with all of us. Moved us to the point where we can build a world just like everybody else. And we want others to build their world, but not in our community. We want to stop that. We look at people so quickly losing their home through sheriff sales for a few thousand dollars. Been living there all their life. Old, too old, ain't got no little nest egg. No, we want to help them kind of people. That's what Blouse Inc., the halal industry, want to do. We want a community service office in our building. So the community, no, they can come through. And again, you might say, well, suppose you got Caucasian, they can get help. First choice is our people. Muslim or Christian, when we're helping them. Our first choice is seniors who are losing their home, but we'll help youngsters too, and we'll help other people. All that's in the category of making things work, and in some cases, finding ways to cross the money in a good way to cause it to grow. That's government talk right there. Might not sound like it, but that's what that is. There's avenues. You take care of something, the government have to take care of those people. But we're tired of seeing people lose their homes. And we don't do nothing, just walk around, preachers preaching, imams talking, you know what I mean, and whatever else have got a door open there to speak like we're doing something. We got wealthy African Americans. Their management is usually white and tell them don't invest in their own community. Well, Blouse Inc., the halal industry, the whole thing about us, it's about our community. It's about our community first. Save yourself. That's our community we're talking about saving first. Save yourself and your family from the hellfire. And we got to believe that hellfire is real. We ain't talking about something that ain't real. God said it's the hellfire. And he's the one that says, save yourself from it. So if we know that's the reality, then how can we do anything other? How can we do anything other? That's the only thing we can do, is pull our resources together. So, again, I'm asking you all to look at your skills. We may do I still have to speak with our sister, Martha from Community-Wide Service, excuse me, I always, CWSC, I always say it wrong. So pardon me for doing that. Mainly my mind is on the sister, Martha, to be the one that will coordinate efforts to have a Zoom as a think tank. And we're asking, when we put that number out, that information out, we're asking you and others like you to get in touch. God willing, I'll complete my next article to put it in Muslim Journal this week. Share some things and ways of getting together and calling on people to use their experience. If you got an experience, which all of us do, we need it. Need to know what you know to help build a community that grows and grows for us. There was a song back then, when it back there, grows and grows. Yeah. And nobody knows where it stops. Oh, no, where it stops, nobody knows. Yeah. That's right. They were singing. Listen, once upon a time, this stuff they putting out in a day, it got nice tunes.
About it.
But the word, the lyrics is not taking us nowhere. Back then, the lyrics, the music, the characters was appealing. It wasn't the way they dress everything. And I'm not putting these youngsters down because they got talent. But you got to speak to the progress. If you're reaching the audience, why would you reach the audience and give them something that put them down? We want to reach the audience and put them up. And it can help others grow up too, Caucasians. Do you think, you listen, when they say they want to get the history, our history out of the schools, what do you think that means? They don't want their people. They ain't talking about us. They don't want their own people to grow to see the savagery that their foreparents left. We need movement. You know, the Caucasians jumped up, Black Lives Matter. They do. Now we need to get together and have right people in office, and let's talk about this reparation. Mm-hmm. All of us can use, what is that, 40 acres and a mule?
Mm-hmm.
All of us can use that to build all over again, build a society. On this particular program, they had people pushing. When I say this particular program, today is the halal industry, yes. But when it was our brother speaking from the STEM school, he also was speaking for reparations. We need that. No, we ain't begging for it. That's ours. No, we got cash in the bank. If we don't understand it, let's put people in office. They don't all have to be African American. We got good Caucasians that want to do the right thing. They scared of their devilish brothers and sisters. You know that DT, it could be Devil Trump. We know it means Donald Trump, but it could be Devil Trump. Devil Trump. Not double the trouble, but devil trouble. You know, what we used to call Caucasian once upon a time, the devil. He shows it. He poisoned the whole White House.
No shame.
And he ain't got no shame. Poisoned the whole White House. I never saw so many leaders willing to take a lie and stay with it. That means you and I, African-American descendants of slaves, Muslim, Christians, whoever we are, other brothers and sisters that come from other native countries, other countries that are here now in America. We got to get in and right the wrong. We don't join it. Hatred for people against people is wrong. Honorable Elijah Muhammad used to say, the Caucasians don't just dislike us because we're black. If none of us were around, they'd kill each other. The history. That was something known to happen. They couldn't even walk among each other without saying, who are these people? Let's kill them. Or the people that's coming in say, who are these people that we visit? Let's kill them. Let's take their properties. Now, is that all of them? No. But that devilishment has to stop. Blocking us from doing business and things of that nature. It's not a black and white thing, no. But we got to get in the race to help set things right. If they ain't strong enough to tell each other that you know that was a lie that man just said, then we need to be in the room to say it. Scared they're going to lose something. Maybe a salary, maybe a position, maybe a chance, an opportunity. We had all of ours taken away and we're still here. We just need to come together and build. So we're calling your attention to the halal industry, do for self. As I stated, we want to get to a certain point. Our first year, we want a certain point. But we want to be able to help people from among our own go in business. Our first priority, people from among our own, Muslim or Christian, good people from among our own. We will help others. But our first in line that we have to look at, and that's not racist. It's just like going in a place in a building that's feeding. You find out this, you know, they're feeding at the corner today at the church or whatever, and you got a refrigerator full of food. You just came from shopping to get some of the things you ran out and put them in the car, and you stop up there and load up a basket and take it out. That food wasn't for you.
That's right.
That food was for those who don't even have a refrigerator. And there's some people around that their refrigerator don't work. If they got one standing there, it don't work. I've even heard of people unplugging their refrigerator only because they ain't got nothing to put in it. So what it look like a person that's feeding themselves every day, feeding their whole family, eating well? I'm not even talking about the grade of food, but they eat. If you're eating off the floor all the time, going places and finding crumbs to eat or out the trash, you need help. And you might not have a mental problem, but you need help. You got food in your refrigerator, you might wind up seeing yourself. Some people throw stuff away out of the refrigerator. Sat in there so long they forgot to eat it. And now it's been there a few days, so let's throw it away. We have to change the way things are right here with us as human beings. And we can't be afraid to change it because we think nobody will listen to African Americans. They listen. They listen to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. They listen to Imam Muhammad. And where they could, they blocked some of the hearings. I'm going to tell you, one day I had a masjid over in Glassboro, New Jersey, And I seen a flyer saying that in the next town over, Pittman, the next town over, the church was going to have a conversation on Islam. And they was building it up, the flyers that I got, they was building it up real nicely. I called the head name on the paperwork, and I said, listen, I'm Imam Wali Ayub Bilal. I'm Masjid Muhammad in Glassboro, New Jersey. Gave him the address. And I said, I noticed you in the township right next to us, and you're inviting people to your church to speak on Islam, and I don't see any authority in Islam on your paperwork. And he admitted on the phone, no, we don't have any. Everybody there is basically Catholic and other Christians. So I said, well, I'd like you to invite somebody. He said, would you like to come? I said, yes. Me and my family will come. So he invited, sent the material. And when it came up, we went there. Now, we're the only African-American walking in the place. My wife and my two daughters at that time got their heads covered. And me and my son, we didn't wear kufis. We still don't. We didn't wear thobes. We wore regular suits. That's my way I was brought up by my father. And we sat down, and as the man talked, he eventually looked around, act like he was looking around in the crowd. You know, sometimes preachers and imams are what they act as. He's looking around, and we're the only black thing in the room. That's why I say acting. Now, he may have been sincere, but to me, it looked like it was an act. He looking around the room. Somebody, well, there's a imam from Glassboro that's supposed to be here, him and his family, his wife and three children. And there's five of us sitting there. You know what I mean? Not black insulted, but just a different colored people sitting there. And I raised my hand. He said, oh, there he is. Imam, you want to come up? They don't say imam. Imam, you want to come up and say something? And I stood right there. I said, I think I could say, unless you're going to say more, I think I could say what I need to say right here. It'll be okay. I said, I'm honored, first of all, that you invited me. And you invited me because I asked, just in case you say something wrong, who do you have there to correct you? And you asked me to come and fulfill that. I have to say, from the conversation I heard you from beginning to end, and you didn't say anything wrong about Islam. Now, his people applauded that. I sat down. But I don't need to just go somewhere and talk. I just wanted to make sure if you're saying something about Islam, since you don't practice it, somebody should be there to hear just in case you make a mistake. His conversation went something like this. He told a history of the Quran. He said him and other studiers, they got a name for themselves. Starts with a C, but right now it's not on my mind. Anyway, they study. They search for books around the country and around the world to study religions and things that happen or were said happened in the religion. He said, and we all agreed. He said, we're scholars in Christianity. We're scholars in, he named the degrees that they had. He said, and we agreed, none other than God himself could have wrote this book. He said, this book was not, yes, printed by a man, but the things that he is reading from the author of the words in it, he agreed that it's from God. He said, not like our book. Our book, he's speaking about the Bible. He said, our book, you could tell man wrote this. And he wasn't talking about the print. He talking about the conversation. Wasn't strong enough to be God. He mentioned the fact of saying that God is a jealous God in the Bible. Now, that's a preacher. That's a Caucasian, fully Caucasian church. You got that already because I said we were the only black in there.
Mm-hmm.
He said, he mentioned about God as a jealous God in the Bible is a misprint, it's wrong, it shows that wasn't God talking. What would God be jealous of? He used our terms. Jealous ain't, God ain't jealous, can't be jealous of nothing. You know what I mean? Is he going to be jealous of what, having too much power, having all the power? He can do that. But why would God get jealous? He created everything. And he went on and mentioned about Muhammad the prophet in a way that you would think. I wanted to jump up and say, well, why don't you just take your Shahada? I mean, he applauded Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, in such a way. So we'll see. It's just what choices they make. And for us, we have to make a choice to build. When you build your model, Allah says to us in the Quran, he speaks of the model that is becomes the mercy for humanity. In Muhammad is that.
Mm-hmm.
And all of us, we're trying to be what Allah called us to be, and he told us to look in Muhammad. Right? If you want to meet with me, that's what he says. Allah says in the Quran. If you want to meet with me, be that which you see in Muhammad. He didn't say nothing about dress like him. We're not on a desert. We don't need, you know, when I was in Vietnam, Vietnamese were really the first place I've ever been in my life where I've seen men wear what looked like what we wore at Hajj. Now, when I went to Vietnam, I wasn't at Hajj yet. I didn't know anything about an ikram. But that lower wrap and going across the chest, that's what they wore in Vietnam.
Yeah.
And they said they wore that because it's a lot of, like, little swamps where they grow vegetables at. Look like water pools, and they grow their vegetables there.
Rice and everything.
Yeah. But at the same time, when they caught out in the field and got to go to the bathroom, it's easier for them to do something with that, what looks like an ikram wrapped around their bottom. They just go over and squat, pull it up a little bit and squat and do their thing. So it was the comfort of their wear. Again, I have to say, like I say many times, Imam Muhammad told us, make your own clothes. Make clothes that fit our size. He wasn't just talking about big and small. He's talking about taste, the shape of our bodies are different from many. The shoes we wear. He gave the description of that earth shoe we wore. I wore it for a while.
Yeah. Amen.
There were some brothers telling me, man, that's too ugly. He didn't want it. Okay. He said, make your own design. We don't have to accept his design if that ain't what you wear in your neighborhood. You flashy. So all of us have to see. We have to build something that we could say is ours, it belongs to us, and we'll keep moving. Let us ask for, always ask Allah for forgiveness, and let me do a PSA.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Listen to us daily. From 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an edition of the Halal Industry, Do For Self, with your hosts, Imam Wale Ayub Bilal, President, Founder, and CEO of Bilal's Inc., and co-hosts James Bashir and Nate Muhammad. The interests of Bilal's Inc. is to establish economics for the African-American people, descendants of the slaves of America. This program is to encourage people to unite and to build economic strength, to establish community life by doing for self, to build the model community. Connect at am360.org and 24-hour streaming at 701-719-4197. Call in live to speak to the host at 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. Share comments at info@cwsc.us, tweet at CWSHURAA, email us at info@cwsc.us, visit am360.org, Pan Corporation, Community-Wide Shore Conference at cwsc.us, or leave a listener comment at 910-317-0297.
Thank you, Brother James. This is Nick Muhammad again. The Halal Industry Do For Self. I just want to comment on something the man brought up, the reparation, the 40 acres and the mule. You know, we was promised that. They made a whole big hoopla over that, over there. That was, what was that, coming out after the Civil War?
Mm-hmm.
So that's around 1865.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we was promised that. And that is something we never got.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, like the imam said, it's on the books. And where we'll look at the why we didn't get it, we have to look at the federal government. Because they was in charge of everything. And I'm not saying that with malice on my heart. I'm just want to get some clarification, because we talking about reparation. Here we go again, talking about something that we deserved and never got. They did that to when they put the Japanese into these camps. Once the war was over, they gave them reparation.
Mm-hmm.
We can go back to, matter of fact, the reparation went to the Jews from the Holocaust.
How about that?
Yeah. What I'm just saying is that it was there.
And it's still there.
And it's still there. But it's just that we never, as a people, and you can look at the history, whether you think we deserve it or not, we went through 10 times, 100 times worse than what they encountered. You know, and this is why we sit here, and the government, they have to come face to face with it. The way the government is set up, they set up 50 states. They got 50 different ways of running the state. You got 50 different states. They run their state different than each other. And everybody has to agree. Each state has to agree. Some will agree. Majority won't agree. It's on the books. It's in the air. But is it? Can they be fair? That's why we said, from a halal disposition, we have to be fair and honest,
mm-hmm.
even if it's against ourselves. Who do we have to be fair and honest to? People who experience something harsh, just like our Imam Muhammad told us back in the when he first came in office. If we did anything to anyone that might have hurt their feelings, disrespected them, or whatever, you have to go back and apologize.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember it like yesterday, because I know what I did, and I said, "Oh no." So now I can imagine how the average Caucasian from a governmental standpoint thinks, you know, because I listen to a lot of these, especially the Marines that was in service. They used to say, you don't apologize. If you go apologize, that's a sign of weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there, well, maybe that might be a sign of weakness from a military standpoint, but a human being, mankind, that's accountability. Yeah. So that's why I was saying we have to separate those terms, because we hear terms and don't know the meaning behind the terms, and we just take things for face value. So that's why you have opposition when it comes time to right the wrong. How can we write? How do we know they was right?
Mm-hmm.
How do we know they was wrong? No. You go back. That's why you go back. You can always go back to the root of it and see what happened to clarify. You always got to go where it started from. Just like when the imam said, you know, the reparation, my mind automatically went to 40 acres of the mule.
Really?
Because I read that's what we was promised, and the people was looking forward to it, to have a start, a life. They still did it. Without that 40-acre in the mule, because, you know, God always leaves something in us to make us resourceful. We just make stuff happen. You understand, regardless what the situation is. And I'm sure society can't figure out after all this stuff we done been through while we're still standing. We're still standing through the grace of Almighty God. He wants us to be standing. Not man. Man would want to destroy us to get out, just like how he said the brother down in Florida want to cover up or want to denounce the history of the African-American people. He want to get that out of the way so his conscience won't bother him. Because if anything you did isn't fixated in your mind, anything, that's why when the law call you back, he hold you hostage to what you did. You got when he had to answer for what you did. And everything you did was recorded. That's why whatever you did, whether it was right or wrong, you can be glorified for the right, and you can repent with the wrong. You give that option. This is religion. This is coming from Almighty God. He wants you to be upright. But we look at this society, they'll make you think there's no God. How did God let this happen? But he always showed you it first before he put it on you or put the burden on you. He already prepared you for it. And if he put the burden on you, you was already prepared. You can handle it. So our ancestors that migrated here through slavery, they was prepared for it. Because I'm sure they was the strongest one out of the bunch. I'm sure they were. Because them the ones that could withstand. Then once you got to hit the land. There's another test was right there now, and you have to make how you going to deal with this, you know? Some rebel, lost out in some, labored on, dealt with what was happening. They had to deal with. But the one thing they never forgot, their faith in their God. They never forgot that, and that was the whole turning point, and that is the whole mainstream. That helped us come through all that trials and tribulations. God guided us through that. He nursed us. You understand? Sometimes he probably was hell, but there always some relief. There always was some room for relief. Mm-hmm. I know that. I know because you couldn't withstand all of it. It was all hell, and that's where the very hard shit come in.
Mm-hmm.
To remind you, to remind the people. Now, if you're looking at it emotionally, you can't see this. You be saying the heck with the world, damn with whoever. Mm-hmm. But if you're looking at it with from a spiritual standpoint, you can see that. Whoa, you're trying to show us something. Let's unite and do it this way. You came over here unitedly. We just wasn't on the same page with each other. That's the glorification of Almighty God, not man. And if we're going to get any kind of reparation, it's going to be with God's hands on it. It ain't going to be man. Man can't decide this. He can bear witness to it, but he can't decide it. Because the God can make it so that you don't have no choice but to deal with it. So that's where we're coming from. We're coming from the front where we earned it. Okay, we earned it. But it's still up to us to do it. It's up to us. I was just talking to some youngsters yesterday, young brothers, and how they looking forward to us getting the halal industry up and going. And we got at least a minute. We were looking for to let us know that we had 90 seconds. Yeah, so it didn't come in. So I'd like to thank you all, everyone, for tuning in to the Halal Industries Do For Self with your host, Emmanuel Wally Yubilal. Another division of to halal, or BC, Bilal, Inc., the Halal Industry. And we're looking forward for you to coming in tomorrow, the same time, 6 to 7 Eastern Standard Time. With that, I like Nate Muhammad. I like to greet you in peace. Assalamu alaikum. Yeah. Yeah.